Well, as I was studying, I came across a thought. I do that every now and then. Something just kind of pops. Just wondering how many here would love to wake up each and every day, no matter what age you are, feeling young, vibrant, and alive, and full of vigor. Everybody? Some of you don't want to. Everybody wants to feel young, alive, full of vigor. Well, you know, that's actually what the scripture calls us to do. Did you know that? Yeah, doggone it, don't you hate it when the Lord uses words against us? In Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15, it says here that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. See, the Lord desires that our service with him doesn't end at a certain age or at a certain time where we just feel like we're just, you know, not strong enough physically to go on. Because I don't know, I mean, who here, you look in the mirror and you see that your body has gotten older, but is it not still the same spirit as when you were a young child? You still feel, I mean, it's our bodies that remind us we can't do certain things. Our mind still tells me I should still be able to jump up on the roof and, you know, do those repairs. It tells my wife that she should still be able to do a somersault in the pool and not get, you know, not lose her equilibrium for a week. She did that. It cracked me up. She did this. She showed our granddaughter how to do a cartwheel. And as soon as she gets done, she turns about three shades of green, and she's just like this. And she goes, "What's wrong with me?" I said, "You're 40. She goes, "No, seriously." I said, "I'm serious. You're older now. You're not the young child you used to be. Our bodies don't do the same things as when we were younger." She goes, "I don't like this." I said, "Well, welcome to getting older." But you see what happened to her? With her, it said, I'm got this spirit. I know how to do it. I've done it a million gajillion times. I should just be able to do this all the time." But as we get older, there are certain things our bodies tell us we can't do, but our spirits should always be vibrant. Our spirits should be alive. Our spirits are truly where our life is. The life isn't just my hand moving, or if I could pick up a baseball and throw again, that's not my life. My life is who I am. My life is my spirit that dwells in me. And so the psalmist here uses a couple of trees that he says that we are to be like. So what is that godly person like? If you look in there, it says that we're like two different types of trees. One is the date palm. Anybody know anything about the date palm? Because I had to look this up. You know, a date palm grows to be about 90 feet tall, and it bears a ton of fruit. Now, 90 feet doesn't seem like a long way when you're running between home plate to first base. It doesn't seem like it's that far. And 90 feet doesn't even seem that tall when you're looking up at it. But if you've ever been at 90 feet and looking down, it looks a lot higher. Okay, your knees all of a sudden. I mean, it's amazing. When you're on the ground and you're looking up at 90 feet, you're as steady as can be. When you're at 90 feet looking down, your knees start to shake. Your palms start to sweat because that is a very tall height. So 90 feet, wouldn't you say that that's pretty majestic for a palm tree? The other one is a cedar. It's a cedar of Lebanon. Okay? It's resistant to weather and termite damage. So guess what? That's the type of wood they used a lot of times back then to adorn the palaces. But if you're a tree and you're resistant to the weather and you're resistant to termites, guess what's not going to do? You're not going to rot out. You're not going to let outside forces come into you. It's not going to get at you. Somebody once told me, I didn't realize about the redwood tree, that the bark of the redwood tree, am I correct that it's fire retardant? It keeps the tree from catching fire? I never realized that. I grew up, you know, I lived a couple of years up in the redwood trees. No wonder they're can get to be so majestic. Whatever it is, it's big. And when you can drive the truck through the base of it and it still grows, it's big. So it means that we're always producing. We can grow to enormous heights. And it means that even at our grandest, nothing can bring us down because we're resistant to things coming in to get to us. Things can't come and chew at us. So what other characteristics should a person have that's a godly person? It says here that they flourish in the courts of our God. In other words, that we should rejoice and have a close relationship with our Father. It says here that the person in verse 14 yields fruit in an old age. Does that mean then that when somebody gets to be older in the church that we should just cast them aside? Yes, we should. There's a lot of wisdom in there. Sometimes they'll forget more about things than we'll ever learn. Growing Christians serve the Lord all the days. It's part of the problem I see with some of the younger churches when they just want just the young, they go and they start a church and they want just the young crowd. Well, you're giving up the elders. You're giving up the ones that can teach the young ones how to serve, how to help support the church, how to help it grow. If it hadn't have been there in the first place, if the elders hadn't been there, never would have had the availability, the assets to go to serve and open up these new churches. It says that they shall be full of sap and very green in Psalm 92:14. In other words, you should always be active and wanting to serve the Lord. So how do we, as Christians, stay young and fruitful in our lives? Number one, always, always keep learning. I once heard somebody said, if you're not growing, you're dying. Have you ever seen bananas? How fast do bananas start to rot? Pretty fast, don't they? Acquiring new skills or knowledge stimulates our minds. There's always something more we can learn. There's always some new little piece of golden nugget that the Lord can reveal to us. So we should keep longing to learn. We should long to keep loving. When you're in love, life stays young. When you wake up next to your loved one each and every morning, guys, you better say yes to this. Do you not just look next to you and say, I don't know what I would have done without this person? Some of us are saying, I don't know what I've done with this person. But you know, we need to have that heart of love. We need to have the heart of love towards our God. We are to love the Lord and other people, especially believers. God says that we are to love the Lord thy God with what? All of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Every bit of us. Is that not what our wife or our husband expect from us also? Is that not what our children demand that we give them? They don't ask, they demand it. The moment they come out of the womb, they are 100% dependent upon you for everything in their life. And did you not fall in love with your child long before they even came out of the mother? You stay in love, you stay younger at heart. Here's a good one for you. Laugh. God gave us both emotions. Some of us like to be down more than up. Some of us like to be up more than down. Some of us don't like to show any emotion because if I show emotion, you might know how I feel. But a good sense of humor helps lift you up. You know, somebody might go around with this look on their face all day long. And I'll say, are you happy? Yes. Did you let your face know? Yes. Can't you tell? This is my happy face. Who here remembers the show Hee Haw? Remember the dog? Oh, he's excited now, that old bloodhound. Expression never changed, did it? Laughing keeps us young. What about leaving? Keep leaving. What do you mean, Brother Marty? Keep leaving. Keep leaving what burdens you at the cross and give it to God. And don't pick it back up again. I once used Stuart for an example of this, and I had him come up, and I had the kids jump on his back and find out how many it took and to where he couldn't hardly even walk down the middle of the pew here, or the middle of the aisle. It only took a couple. Once Luke got on there, he didn't hardly move at all, because I think Luke got him by his legs. But you know, some of us say, Lord, I'm so sorry for this, but I'm going to take it up and drag it with me. And I'm so sorry for this, and I'm going to take it and drag it with me too. But Paul says that we are to lay down those things, setting aside the sin, the weight of the sin that so easily besets us. Because when you're burdened down by the things of life, that smile turns to a frown. And you don't enjoy life each and every day. And if you don't enjoy life, then you're not enjoying what God gave to you. Because the life that he gave to you is precious. And it's fleeting. It's very short for this time that you're going to be in your physical body compared to the eternity that you're going to spend with him. So, keep leaving. Cast all your care upon him, as it says in 1 Peter 5:7, for he careth for you. Don't hold on to that emotional baggage. Keep longing. What do you mean, keep longing? How long is longing? No. Keep longing. Keep reaching. Keep yearning to become better at whatever you do. I don't think anybody ever reaches their full potential. Because I think we live our life peak to peak to peak to peak. We get to a certain point and we realize, oh, there is more here. When you started out, you couldn't even hardly see yourself getting to that point. Some of us doing what we do for a skill in our life probably never even envisioned that we would have the knowledge to do what we currently do. I'm sure when John first started playing the guitar, he didn't think about how good a guitar player he would be 40 years down the line. If you would have told him this is how good you're going to pick, and he's going to get up there and just go all up and down the guitar fret, he would have said, you're crazy. I can't do that. Those that love what they do, they yearn to get better at what they do. They long for it. In other words, don't stop dreaming. Don't stop having goals and plans. Find out what those goals should be in a biblical sense, how God would want you to live. And by prayer and study, follow the Holy Spirit to lead you to get better at whatever it is that you desire. God gave you desires of your heart. Now, these desires are not always, you have to discern between what, there's different desires. I better back up here. Because you can have your own lustful desires. But the desires I'm talking about here are the desires that God places upon your heart. Because see, when you are born again unto the kingdom of God, you start to become Christ-like, developing the heart of Christ. And those are the things that you should be desiring. Those are the things that you should be hoping to get better at, becoming a better example of Jesus Christ, saying, Lord, show me how to love better. Show me how to serve you better. How can I use this guitar, this music talent that you've given to me to serve better? How can I have this, how can I serve you more with this artistic ability, with this ability to read and understand and convey it to children? Lord, how can I serve you better with my landscape business? Can I do anything here to help your house look better, dear Heavenly Father? Whatever it is, do it to the glory of God. Use it for his glory and do it to every bit that you have and ask him to help you get better at it. And keep looking. Keep looking to see where God is at work. I'm not even sure if it's a scripture. What's it say about idle hands? It is good for you to stay busy and working, isn't it? I remember my grandfather was afraid to retire because his dad retired and passed away within a year. And sure enough, my grandfather passed away within a year after retiring. That was coincidence, I'm sure. But we need to keep looking, and in that look, you need to keep looking to see where you can labor. Again, it has nothing to do with our ages. It has to do with our desire. God set a pattern in the Old Testament, didn't he? Of working for 6 days and resting for one. God wants us to remain active, exercising our bodies through manual labor and other physical activities keeps us healthy. Obviously, I should get out and do more manual things. It keeps us looser. It's been proven. It's been proven a body that stays active stays more limber. Has anybody ever here been bedridden for a week and gotten up and go, oh my goodness, I can't hardly move? Try laying down for even a couple of days and see how stiff your back becomes. It's pretty bad. Keep on leaning on your Heavenly Father. Rely upon Him. Call upon Him. Turn every burden and worry over to God. Learn to depend upon Him more and more each day, because this Christian life is tough enough as it is, much less trying to go it alone. We have to have the Holy Spirit continuing to work through us. Keep your language positive. We sabotage ourselves. Sutton Fierce. We sell ourselves short. I just can't begin to tell you how many times I hear people say, you know, they speak into existence their failure long before they've even tried. Oh, I just know that's not going to work. You've heard people say it. Maybe you've said it to yourself. Now, if you've tried it a certain way 100 different times, and every time that you've tried it, it hasn't worked, and you're going to try it the same way again, then you're probably right. If you got to try something, using something a little bit different. I think it was Einstein that years ago said you can't solve the world's problems using the same mindset that got us into it. You have to think outside the box. But you know, if you lean upon the Lord will give us additional, He'll expand our minds. He'll expand our understandings. But speak into existence the things that we want. Because even when you're not speaking, you're speaking to yourself. And you might say, well, Brother Mary, I don't say it to myself. Really? Let me use a point example. Who here is, guys, this, I'm just going to pick on the guys right now. Who here has ever asked a gal out on a date and she said no? Stuart and I are the only ones that got turned down? You guys are studs. Or who here has ever wanted to do something and you got rejected for trying it? Had any type of rejection in your heart or in your life? And so what happens? There's that little part in your brain that remembers that little time of rejection. Because if you can remember it right now, believe me, it's a strong enough rejection, because every one of you remembered right then and there what that rejection was. And so all of a sudden, years down the road, you get that same type of opportunity come in front of you. And you get set to make your move to do or to try it again. And in the blink of an eye, in a nano New York second, your mind brings that right to the very forefront and tells you, no, don't do it, because if you do, this happened, this and that. Remember how bad you felt way back then? And instantly, you stopped because you didn't want to feel that same feeling of rejection. We have to flood ourselves with positive emotions, with positive language. Otherwise, we're going to live in a negative world. That means things you listen to. Get away from CNN news. I call it constant negative news. Some people are just so stuck on the news, and I don't care what news channel you watch, they'll regurgitate the same story in 100 different fashions to make sure you understand exactly how much blight the world is in. There might be one good story that happened in your hometown, but it's buried clear back on the newspaper, and because we're so knee-deep into telecast news, we can't see it. Forget the news. Go out and make a difference. Become the positive. It has to start somewhere. Let it start with you. Stay positive. And keep listening to the Lord. When you pray, don't do all the talking. Sometimes the best prayer you can do is just going to the Lord and being quiet. Just going into a room, a dark room, closing the door, and just say, Lord, it's time for you and me. Speak to me. Speak to my heart. Do your best not to fall asleep, because I know your lives are probably so hectic. So put yourself in a position where you can't fall asleep. But just wait upon Him. Ask the Lord to guide your life each and every day. He knows what you can do and what you can't do. And then ignore those that choose to give you ungodly counsel. They want to give you the worldly counsel. They want to explain to you why you can't, when you know that with God's help, yes, you can. The Lord desires us to be a fun-loving, life-giving people that others enjoy knowing. How else do you, I mean, Who wants to join a movement of negative people? Yeah, let's go get with them. They're going nowhere, and they're having a horrible time getting there. That sounds like fun. Anybody ever wanted to join that club? That was the debate team. What team was it?
Eeyore.
Exactly. That's the Eeyore team. Nobody wants to be in that. They want to be in something that's upbeat, fun, exciting. You can choose to grow old early, or you can choose to stay young at heart. The secret is to listen to God's voice and obey Him in every situation. Don't be afraid to let the fruit bear. Let your palms grow large. Nothing's going to destroy you. You've got the Holy Spirit.